We want you to know what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church, and this our affirmation of faith for today from Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 17 through 19, and it's especially important since it figures as part of the message, where we read and we believe, He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. The reading for today is traditional for the Sunday of Epiphany, or the Sunday just before Epiphany, celebrated January 6th. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in its rising and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today, January 3rd, is the 10th day of Christmas, and January 6th is the Epiphany of Jesus. Epiphany is the Greek word for appearance, when the church has celebrated the appearance of Jesus to the Magi. January 6th, the Epiphany, is the original and first celebration attached in the church to Jesus' birth. It wasn't until some 300 years in the church's history that there was a separation of the celebration of Jesus' birth from the celebration of Jesus' appearance to the Magi. And so it was moved, that is, the celebration of Jesus' birth was moved to December 25th, and January 6th was retained as the celebration of Jesus' appearance to the Magi. As it says in Matthew's Gospel, it did take place. The appearance to the Magi took place after Jesus was born. The birth of Jesus celebration of that birth was December 25th. And so there are 12 days of Christmas from December 25th to January 6th. And that's all a part of an explanation for the celebration of January 5th and 6th as Three Kings Day. Many of us grew up hearing and singing We Three Kings, and that hymn may not be in some hymnals because Three Kings are not in our Bible. This time of year, we read about wise men. The Bible word is magi. There are definite words for the word king in Hebrew and in Greek, and the word magi is not one of them. Matthew does not tell us that they were kings. He said, uses the word magi. And Matthew does not tell us how many magi there were. Matthew only mentions three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the tradition has come down of three kings and three kings' day. And so the so-called three kings are still celebrated January 5th and 6th as three kings' day. So that's an explanation of the tradition. Before we go on and take a look at this text in Matthew about the appearance of Jesus to the Magi. Now, I love the advertising tagline for the film, The Nativity Story, and if you haven't seen it, I can recommend it to you, although be sure to read the Bible. But the tagline for the film, The Nativity Story, is a message foretold in the heavens, a prophecy that would threaten an empire, a miracle that would change the world. This is the Nativity Story. We have noticed all this season that there were prophecies about Jesus' birth, prophecies spoken hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, a promise of salvation, and these prophecies did threaten an empire. The prophecies threatened kingdoms, and the prophecies threatened a dynasty, Herod's dynasty. And we will get to that. But first, we notice that the message of Jesus' birth was foretold in the heavens. And as far as we know, only a few men, it doesn't say the Magi were men. And we do read about Magi who were women. It doesn't say they were men, but only a few saw the signs in the sky concerning Jesus' birth. Who were these men, or who were these people? Matthew called them magi. Who were these magi? One of the most popular claims and explanations is that these magi were Zoroastrians. And the best thing about Zoroastrianism is being able to say Zoroastrianism. What is Zoroastrianism? Zoroastrianism is an old religion, an old pagan religion that came from ancient Iran. Ancient Iran is one of the locations suggested as the Magi's homeland, east of Judea. However, we have to ask the question, what does Zoroastrianism, as we know it today, what does that have to do with Zoroastrianism as it was practiced hundreds of years before Jesus appeared? The first answer is we don't know if there is much relation of present-day Zoroastrianism with the ancient forms of Zoroastrianism, because there are still a few practitioners of Zoroastrianism in the world today. So if the Magi were Zoroastrians, how come Matthew did not call them Zoroastrians? Well, it might have been a detail that didn't mean much to Matthew or to Matthew's church. After all, have you ever heard of Zoroastrianism? Zoroastrianism doesn't seem to have ever advanced much farther than the borders of ancient Iran. And if Matthew and the Bible didn't think it important enough to mention, I don't want to spend any more time on it. But it isn't because I don't know anything about it. And you can read websites that say, well, here's the real story of the wise men, to which I say, really? I'm not buying it. What the Bible does tell us is that these magi have seen something in the sky. What they know as magi with special knowledge is that the sign in the sky means something very important. The sign in the sky means that a child is born, a child so important that God has put the sign of this child's birth in the heavens for the magi to see. And in reading all the signs in the sky, such as where the light appeared and where in the sky it moved, and that's important if you believe the skies are telling you something. Where in the sky something appears tells you something of the message of the sign. You know that this is true. If you don't know how to read a sign, the information on the sign is useless. You and I know what a sign means. It says Muncie, 37 miles. It means we are 37 miles from Muncie. And on the present road, we will reach Muncie once we've traveled 37 miles. But otherwise, Muncie, 37 miles, might not mean that, especially if you don't know English or have never heard of the English or Indian name Muncie. So to know how to read the sign is essential to knowing the meaning of the sign you are seeing. Do I need to repeat that? To know how to read the sign is essential to knowing the meaning of the sign you are seeing. Is that not why we now follow a universal symbol use for signs, so that no matter what language you speak, you may figure out what the sign is telling you? The lights in the sky the Magi saw, the Bible suggests, was not a universal sign known to all, but rather only these Magi, specialists in reading the courses of the lights in the sky, where the lights rise and fall, when and in which quadrants of the sky, these specialists could read that sign. And the Magi knew that God had placed this sign in the sky for them to see. The Magi resolved to act on this sign which God has given. Then this is the Magi's question: where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. I would emphasize the word we. We saw it. This sign was shown to us. So the Magi had to travel to Judea. They didn't live in Judea. Judea had no Magi associated with the royal court. The only royalty with Magi who were stargazers lived in the east: ancient Iran, ancient Iraq, ancient Afghanistan, what was called Persia. And by the way, this was hundreds of years before Islam ever got started. The Bible tells us that these Magi came with a question: where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? The fact that the Magi refer to Jesus as King of the Jews would mean the Magi were indeed foreigners. A Jew would not phrase the question that way. A Jew of Jesus' day might ask, where is the one born King of Judea? Or where is the one born King of Israel? Or even, where is the one born Messiah, if that was their meaning? But the Magi ask, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For there is in the Old Testament prophets and in the Psalms the idea that there will be a king in Israel who is, or who becomes, the ideal king, connecting God and connecting God with God's people. And as you might recall from things I've mentioned before, one of the offices that use anointing are the offices of the king. The king is an anointed one, and that is the word Messiah's literal meaning. An anointed one. But the prophets point to a future anointed one who will lead the people. The term the Magi use, King of the Jews, may mean they point to Jesus as the Messiah. One of my source books said it this way: it is impossible to read about the king in the Old Testament without seeing the idea of Messiah. Was this a part of the sign the Messiah, was this part of the sign the Magi saw in the sky? Not only that this birth would be special, but this was the birth of the Messiah? Can these foreigners have read in the sky that the Messiah is coming and is now born? And why not? For the Magi themselves say, we have come to worship him. But this idea of kingship is offered up several times in the gospel books. Indeed, in Matthew's book, the question back and forth at Jesus' trial is, are you the Messiah? John's gospel says that Pilate asked Jesus at his trial, are you a king then? And the charges against Jesus that were written above his crucified body said, King of the Jews. So the question to the royal house of Herod, where is the newborn king of the Jews? And the first answer at the palace is, well, the king is here inside the palace, but there's no baby. So with the Magi's question, we who all know about national security and homeland security, we get why this question is so troubling. How can there be a new baby that these foreigners are calling King of the Jews? It would be like going to Washington, D.C. and saying, you want to meet the new leader of our country. And people would say, well, the election hasn't happened yet. But you keep insisting you want to meet the new leader of the country. You start to place doubts in people's minds, especially if you're a magi and have access to secret knowledge. And that's why the signs in the sky threaten an empire, a kingdom, and a dynasty. With their question, the magi demonstrate some failure in Herod's national security. For they do not know what the Magi are talking about. And the Magi are certain they do know what they are talking about. And so all of Jerusalem is troubled at this question, because some heads are going to roll, because they do not know what the Magi are talking about. The signs in the sky threaten an empire, a kingdom, and a dynasty. But when the Magi find Jesus, Matthew 2:11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A lot of ink has been used to interpret the gifts as having some prophetic meaning concerning Jesus' life. Matthew is listing three different items that are expensive. They are royal. Let's face it, how many people use frankincense and myrrh? And it's rare. Even today, it only grows in a couple of places on earth. And so these gifts are fitting to bring to an important person. Our focus on the meaning of these particular gifts, because we are Americans, we miss the meaning. What we Americans miss in this gesture is an ancient gesture. Here is the ancient use of gifts given to heads of state expressing submission and allegiance. We Americans are not going to submit or swear allegiance to anybody, but the Magi will. The Magi are not kind or generous in their gifts. They are accepting the Messiah. They are submitting to the Lord's anointed. They are swearing allegiance to God's anointed one. And their gifts are a sign that they so accept and proclaim this new relationship between Messiah and Magi. One more detail about this report of the Magi. As I mentioned, the Magi are not Jewish. They are foreigners. We today here at Daleville Christian Church are not Jewish. We are foreigners. But we, like the Magi, have pledged our allegiance to the Messiah, who God sent to rule over us and rule in our lives. That is what our statement of faith proclaims today. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, that's us, the foreigners, and peace to those who were near, those are the Jews. For through him, through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, Jew and foreigner, have access to the Heavenly Father by one Holy Spirit. And then it says, consequently, this is Ephesians chapter 2, consequently, you are no longer foreigners. You are no longer strangers. You are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household. This our God has accomplished through his Son, Jesus, our Lord, our Messiah. Another one of our statements of faith that we use at baptisms says, once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we were nobodies, but now we are somebodies. We are God's somebodies. We belong to God. We submit to God's Messiah. We pledge allegiance to God's Messiah, God's anointed one, through Jesus born the Messiah. We are God's children, God's family. We are in God's kingdom. Praise be to God. Our Messiah Jesus is born. Amen.